So 3 o'clock, we will start the second presentation. And second one is mine. My name is Hae Kyung Kang from South Korea. I'm working for Korea Research Institute for Human Settlements. And today, what I will introduce is our experiences on developing geoanalytic functions for UN missions. So I have three co-authors, and I will introduce my co-author. Unfortunately, among two of my co-authors, so just one attended today. And also, he will give a presentation together with me. So Mr. Tim Oro, would you introduce yourself?
Thank you. My name is Tim Oro. I'm in charge of geoanalytics at the United Nations Geospatial Information Section.
So the contents I will deliver today is first I will introduce why we did this kind of activity first, and then we will introduce the requirements from the UN missions, why they need the geoanalysis functions, and also I will introduce also how we developed so far, what we developed so far. So, and then I will introduce the use cases. We applied our development to some scenarios, which is very simplified scenarios. And then I conclude. So the further background, you know, as you know, geoanalysis is an approach to apply statistical analysis to other analytic techniques to data, which is geographically, so people can recognize, you know, the pattern of a space with a very nice visualized map and processing spatial data and so on. So geoanalysis that provides many advantages to the users. For instance, the ease of record keeping of geographical changes and so on. So it's very the same for the United Nations. So the United Nations also use geographical analysis to improve the efficiency of their situational awareness, safety and security, monitoring crisis during the UN field operations and so on. So the GIS section in United Nations who provide overall support in using the geospatial analysis technology to the UN operations. They, in 2016, they established the UN Open GIS initiative led by the UN GIS section under the UN Department of Operational Support Department. So to leverage the free open source based geospatial technology in support of UN peace operation. So there are several working groups developing the technology, and geoanalysis is the third working group. So we named the Spiral 3, and it aims to provide open source geoanalytic solution for UN operation. So the core of this working group is to develop geoanalytical solution, not only just the functions. So the core of this Spiral 3 is collecting the UN requirements and share the knowledge from the field with the developers. And second, developing the geospatial analysis functions that we did. And third, we integrate all the outcome with the other working groups outcomes. And also we developed the manual training materials and hosting conferences, et cetera. We are working on it. So from now on, I will introduce a part of our activities from the requirement part. So mostly this requirement analysis and overall monitoring is conducted by the partner, co-leader, Tim Oro. So he will introduce about the geoanalysis for UN operation.
Thank you. It's okay, I'll use the computer. I stole this slide from my boss from King Su, from his main presentation. So first of all, I want just to mention that JS in the field missions, we are responsible for mainly for situational awareness monitoring and just simply identifying what's happening in the field. So when we work with when we work in the field missions, you can assume that it's not only peacekeeping missions that operates in the theater. It's also many different agencies. So for example, like UNICEF, that's responsible for to take care of the children, for educational educational services, for water and sanitation. So OHCHR, for example, is responsible for human rights. ITU for telecommunication. UNHCR for refugees, UNEP for environment, and WFP for food security. So you see, when you have some crisis in the field missions, it's not only peacekeeping, it's not only UN field missions that are responsible for delivering services and for taking care of population of concern. It's all these agencies. So which means that when we work with, when we provide GIS services to our peacekeeping colleagues, we also need to extend the services to all these agencies, funds, and programs that we work with, which also includes geoanalytics. So when we started working, identifying what exactly, what kind of analysis we need for peacekeeping missions and also for agencies, funds, and programs in the field missions, we came up with UN operations, as you see here, and use of geoanalysis. For example, for situational awareness, it's one of the core component of information management and intelligence in the missions. It's situational awareness, so we need to, first of all, to conduct geoanalysis related to incident analysis, to destruction analysis. Quite often we have quite a lot of destructions happening to the livelihood of the communities in the areas of operation. Safety and security, it's threat analysis, security threat analysis, military operations and protection of civilians, because protection of civilians, it's one of the main components of in the field missions for towards the communities that are working with. So it's intelligence for early detection of threats. Yeah, so for example, when there is, let's say, an IDP camp or refugee camp, you need to identify, first of all, what kind of threats can occur, and just to be able to analyze and to collect information of those possible threats. Human rights violations and investigation, it's related to atrocities assessment, mass grave investigation. We quite often use either satellite imagery analysis for this or raster data analysis, we can also call it this way. Epidemiological analysis, it's not only WHO, but it's also UN Secretariat that works on different epidemiological crises. For example, as it was in 2014-15, in West Africa, there was a huge Ebola crisis, right? So, and UN responded to those crises. So, and for those crises, Dr. Khan did a prediction model for Ebola vector for the Ebola vector distribution. So you, for UN support, just in general, some sort of logistic support. We need planning of camp establishment, management of mission for mission utilities, groundwater exploration, water pipeline monitoring. For environmental, we need to make sure that we are compliant with rules and regulations of the host countries, and also we are compliant with UN guidelines and waste management guidelines. So, and cross-cutting analysis, it's a threat analysis of road operations, because roads are used by all agencies, funds, and programs, and all partners who use who work in the field. So we did few preliminary sort of work, just first of all to identify how open source can how open source will be able to respond to our requirements. So we sent our requirements to Dr. Kang with relation to Ebola predictive model. So that's the result of the algorithm. Probably she will tell a little bit more about it, right? Yeah. So, and also analyzed 26 geoanalytical functions that we had to prioritize, and also functions that we wanted to be included in the web platform that we were running on in Spiral 1 or Workgroup 1, as we call it now. So this is the list of priority functions that we wanted to be embedded in those in the web platform. Also, we had six simple requirements. First of all, we need to have primitive analytical functions, and at the moment, Spiral 3 or Workgroup 3 came up with over 200 different analytical functions. Also, another main criteria was to be able to compile those analytical functions in some sort of model, right? So that some of these some of the steps can be skipped along the process, right? And the system will provide us the final result without going through each step, you know, at once. So the building blocks and inbuilt analytical models. So this part we are still working on, right? other analysis, other requirements included, as I mentioned already, analytical functions should be embedded in a web environment and also in desktop environment. For desktop environment, there was software, open source software, UDIC, that was identified. That's one of the, that provided us the final solution. And research, we also needed research capacity. For example, like quite often, our colleagues provide us some specific and scientific questions and scientific research. Sometimes we don't know what it is. It can be related to environment, it can be related to something else. So for example, I only learned about chlorophyll analysis after trying to identify whether there is a wastewater, untreated wastewater was dumped outside of the camp in the mission, right? So, but before that, I just didn't know. And just for me to figure out, I had to do some research. And one of the requirements was that the Spiral 3 provides the research capacity for some analysis that we are not really experts in. And also training capacity, right? That's, you know, when functions are developed and rolled out so that those capacity will be, trainings will be provided to us.
Thank you. So based on that requirement from the United Nations, we developed, you know, Spiral 3, a geoanalysis solution. Still we are ongoing. So we, in terms of the developing the primitive geoanalytic functions, we Timur mentioned more than 200, but in the beginning we started, you know, 140. But you know, the number by considering the requirements from the field, the number became increased. Developing the functions and running on the different computing environment and assessing, that is the three main activity in terms of the developing the geoanalytical functions. So by comparing other softwares, we summarized what kind of geoanalytic function we provide. So In current moment, all the operators working on the desktop environment by using the UDIC software. So Windows, Linux, it doesn't matter. If you are using the GeoTools, then it can be included in your development environment. And if you are using the GeoServer, all the development result can be plugged into the GeoServer. So you can use, you know, because we implemented the older analytic functions by wrapping UPS, WPS standard. So it is available on the internet environment. So if you open, include, plug in the our development environment to the UDIC software, you will see this kind of interfaces on your computer. I will introduce it. This one later. And also, if you include our development to the GeoServer, you will see all the functions here. So in terms of the assessment of our development, we mostly comparison tests we are doing. So by comparing two results from produced different software, proprietary and our development, we compare the results. But you see there are some slight differences. However, you know, it depends on the algorithms. So proprietary software, they didn't open their algorithms. However, there is a standard or published, you know, the paper we referred that. So in terms of the comparison test, development team, they conduct assessment, and also UN conduct from the client view. So this slide shows a comparison test conducted by the UNHQ. So they this slide shows a comparison test for one operation, which is kernel density. So for the kernel density, proprietary software, they provide just one algorithm. However, our development provides 11 algorithms. So for the kernel density, there are many algorithms. So for instance, quadratic, different quadratic, and other triangular-based analysis. So like this way, we have different algorithms with the same operators. And also you can see, you know, the comparison result from here. So the value is slightly different. However, you know, there is no right, you know, analysis result. Just you can provide your alternatives. So decision is from the experts. So if you can see many alternatives and you can decide one, the best one, then I think that is the best way geoanalysis tools can do. So this is another example, the tested. And we tested, you know, proprietary software, how it can display well. Or so if you look at, the outcome looks very similar to. However, we had to use two softwares, QGIS and UDIG. For using the analytic functions, we used the UDIG, and to display, we had to use the QGIS because they have a better function provided. So for the Ebola use cases, so we applied this development result to the Ebola scenario. So the data set we used are listed on here. So district, airport, and community care center, etc. we used. So displayed on UDIG software. And for the predictive model, we received, you know, actually this model from the experts in that domain. So, and then this is for designed for the proprietary software. So we converted it to for UDIC version. So it looks like this. So district point in polygon operation with a district airport, and we generate the result. Very similarly, we proceed the operators. So I will explain the each steps. So first, the analytic process is point in polygon. So here, if we so the first step is to calculate how many airports located in district, because airport is the potential value to regress Ebola spread. So first step was point in polygon, it was used. And second, third, and fourth step is very similar to use the point in polygon as well. And the fourth step, fifth step is using the line density. So if we are using the line density operator, we have And if we insert the parameters, then we will get the result like this. And the sixth step is using the journal statistics. Also, the journal statistics is provided by the analytic functions. So if we're using the journal statistics, we will get the result like this. And final step was using the ordinary least square operators. So we inserted the parameters, and then we got the result like that. So we got the numbers, you know, applying this OLS operator. So what we, after we get these all the numbers, so what we did is we compared the numbers and analyzed the numbers with the proprietary softwares, and also Excel provided OLS function as well. So we compared all the results. And depending on the algorithm, sometimes our result, if we use the same algorithm with Excel, then the numbers was the same with Excel. Anyway, so if we visit this YouTube site, you can see all the process through this web YouTube. So from the installation of UDIG software, you can start together with this video clip if you'd like to test or follow the Ebola use cases. So like this. Here, data set is introduced. And all the operations, you can watch through the web. So if you visit YouTube and if you insert the keyword Ebola predictive model or Spiral3 or UN OpenGIS, you can see all the video clips there. So conclusion. So far, I tried to introduce the part of activity of UN OpenGIS Working Group 3 geoanalysis in terms of requirement and development and the use cases. What we learned from the activity is there is no right or wrong answer for the density analysis, not only density analysis. For the all the analysis functions, there is no one answer. Many candidates we have. And second one is what we learned is UDIG provide the challenge of a cartograph visualization. It means it's inconvenient. So if any experts from the UDIG community here, I wish they will develop many more convenient, you know, user interfaces. So in current moment, we are using QGIS after we produce the analysis functions. And conclusion, through the use case of Ebola predictive model, we found the advantage of our geoanalysis function in terms of user convenience. Instance where there's many inconveniences part, however, we also have a nice part, you know, for user convenience. For instance, line density function automatically execute the clip operation by parameterizing in it. In its process. So in compared to other software, proprietary software, we have to use clip operation in separately. However, if you are using line density algorithm here, then it's included, you know, so we can reduce our process. And so it reduced the number of analysis functions to be executed and consequently becomes to improve user convenience. So this kind of advantage our development has. Still, our work is going on. So in terms of integrating our development with the other technologies, for instance, for geoportals and other, you know, development. So if you have any interest on participating in this activity, we always welcome. You can contact us. So I try to explain much more about our activity. However, you know, that sure it was enough or not. So is there any questions about my presentation? Yeah, thank you.
It seems like it's an interactive predictive model. Could it be completely automated, or is it like is there a the predictive model seems to be like an interactive analysis part. Could it have been completely automated, or is there a very good reason that this will never happen?
Interactive model? So interactive model?
Did I misunderstand? There's a number of steps that you do in the client interface compared to just sending a request, and you have an automated model that completes all the steps, and you get the results back.
Well, actually, that is one of our ongoing. Would you want to answer? Yeah, he knows very well about that.
So we're also working on developing a model builder or some alternative. So just through model builder, there will be some steps can be semi-automated or completely automated.
Right. Okay. I'm interested because I come from the Norwegian Meteorological Institute, and we do some work with UNICEF, like Chris Fabian, today. So.
Where in current moment we have a Betty function, but it's not enough for interactive or model builder. So we are still on developing the model builder. So if you have any outcome or knowledge about that, then we can share.
Yeah, not me personally, but
please contact. Is there any questions? No? Okay, I see none. So it's 3:27. We will start the third presentation on 30. Thank you very much.